You became known as a bridge builder in the Senate. What had been bipartisan discussions had become more divisive. We know today the way they are, even more stringent maybe.
Oh, yes, by far.
Do you think it was in this time period that they started that?
It was starting already before I left the Senate.
So are we saying in the 90s it started?
Yeah, maybe even in the late 80s.
Yeah.
I begin to see it with every passing year, maybe 6 or 7 years in a row, more and more and more and more partisan. Fewer people, as Howard Baker used to say, that played between the 50 and 40-yard lines. He always said those are the people that really decide the matters in the middle. But that group was shrinking. You know, it might have been 40, and then it was 30, and then it was 20, and now I think it's probably like 4. There are just not very many left that are trying to bring the two sides together. That was part of my frustration. That's part of the reason I think I resigned 2 years early. I'd always wanted to be president of OU. I'd written that in my diary when I was at Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar that someday I hoped I could be U.S. Senator from Oklahoma, and I hoped I could be president of OU. So when the opportunity came and they talked to me about it, I was frustrated enough with the growing partisanship that it was more attractive to me to come home at that time. I felt I could do more and become so partisan.
In 92, you were encouraged to run for president. I mean, you were in the Oval Office counseling these people.
Yes.
And you know you were just as capable, if not more, than some of these people sitting behind that big Oval
Every senator
desk.
Always thinks they're more ready to be president than the president.
You were encouraged to run for president. President Bush, H.W., was
yes,
running
was
for re-election.
Re-election, and that's when Clinton ran against him and beat him.
Right.
And there were a lot of people that came to me and said, you're far better known than Clinton. You're a moderate Southern-type Democrat. You have a great chance to knock him off. And I thought I might have. I also thought that George Bush Sr. wasn't a shoo-in for re-election, even though he'd been very popular at the time of the first Gulf War. He'd taken his eye off the economy. The economy was in trouble. It's kind of like I felt when David Hall was running for re-election. Somebody's going to beat him. I was not the most likely person by any means. I was very unlikely to be the person, but I thought somebody is, so it might as well be me. Well, there were people that came to me that sort of said, this is the same kind of time. Somebody's going to beat George Bush Sr. He's gotten too out of touch on the economy. It might as well be you. And you're as well known as some of these others that are being talked about, like Clinton, who I'd known also.
From Arkansas days.
Yeah, we knew each other before we became governors on Rhodes Scholarship selection committees and things. But I decided not to. I don't regret it a bit, and it has to do with what we talked about a minute ago. It has to do with friendship. George Bush Sr., not George W. Bush, but George Bush Sr. was my personal friend. Didn't have anything to do with politics. He was just my personal friend. He might even discuss with me when he was having a fight with Barbara and what it was about. We were personal friends. And to run for something, you have to feel it so strongly. And if you're sitting there saying, oh, I don't want to be mean to my friend, I couldn't bring myself to run against a personal friend, even though we were of different parties. I just couldn't. I thought, this is a town where too often personal friendships are not real. They're just used to manipulate people with. And he's my real personal friend, and I just can't run against him. So I decided not to.
You were frustrated then at that time. You had served in the U.S. Senate for 15 years. That was longer than Senator Robert Kerr,
yes,
by the way.
Yes.